The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so we're going to do some things here. Right now, ESPN is talking about Deshaun Watson and taking hits, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We got sound from Deshaun. We got sound from Bill O'Brien talking about this. He's taken 55 hits this year, which is number one in the NFL. And that's just not
now,
good
he's
enough.
One of these is going to get put on Bill O'Brien's ticket. But the fact is, Deshaun Watson is making conscious decisions. Bill O'Brien was asked about it yesterday, about him taking the hits. Probably have the sound, but
we do. We will. Yeah. We'll get to it in a second. But first, we have the Robbins Brothers Diamond Play of the Week.
Long throw in time.
Here's your Diamond Play of the Week, presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
Le ha sobrado distancia, le van a servir. Tiene altura, tiene profundidad, va a llegar, va a llegar. ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Ganó, lo ganó!
This Diamond Play of the Week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South and Clear Lake.
What a play.
Ganolo ganó. Ganó in Spanish is he won it. He won. And ganolo is he won it. He won it, ganó.
And he's talking about Graham Gano.
Ganolo ganó.
That guy
got excited. I love that.
You could have done Bregman's home run, and you chose Graham Gano, but, you know, honestly, shout out to the announcer because that was pretty strong.
I don't think you can argue it.
Strong.
Marwin's double? Okay, whatever. That call was as special as it gets. And Robbins Brothers, thank you for bringing us that call this morning here on ESPN 97.5. Okay, so,
you know, our buddy Eric Layden is calling in. I think he's calling in right now. We'll find out. But he's listening to the show, I think, in L.A., so it's early. And I know he wanted to talk about the Astros with us. I'll see if that's him right there. I told him we'd pull him up. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I heard Marky Mark gets up at like 2 in the morning every morning to work out. So I hope Eric Layden is doing that too. Okay?
Yeah, well, let's ask him. Let's bring up Eric right now. Eric, Marky Mark is out there doing push-ups and military presses and all that stuff, working out, getting ready for his next action flick or whatever the case, or some romantic comedy or whatever he's doing. And Granato wants to know, are you out there grinding too in L.A.?
What's up, fellas? Granato, I've got a very hot and freshly made breakfast burrito wrapped up in foil. I'm sitting on the couch in my trailer, big F.U. size venti Starbucks. I'm pretty far from the gym right now, fella.
Where are you? What are you taping? What are you filming?
I'm on Bosch right now. I'm doing a little Bosch. I play an LA Times reporter, Scott Anderson. A lot of scenes that have the words off the record in it.
Yeah. So you were able to stay up
and off the record stuff.
I know you texted me. You seemed super impressed with the Texans last night when I was getting your texts.
Oh my God. I know you guys have already talked about it. Did you guys give Jason Garrett the game ball?
No, he probably deserves some of it.
It's a good call.
It was not a great coaching matchup last night. They did not have their A games going on, I think.
Honestly.
That was unbelievable. I mean, yeah, that was crazy. What was y'all feeling on it? I mean, it's a win, but man. Oof.
Honestly, can you think of a worse coaching matchup right now?
No, two guys are pretty.
I mean, Bill O'Brien is really, it's gotten, and it's unbelievable. Because
well,
I thought he was the guy.
Off timeouts, too? Again?
Again? It's just freaking amazing.
You know, if you weren't calling plays, you could say Bill O'Brien's got to get rid of, you know, whoever offense coordinator is. He's calling the plays, and they are, and they were good between the 20s. You know, move the ball up and down the field. Once it got inside the 20, disaster. And that's where you win games. That's where you cash checks, and they're terrible at it. Deshaun Watson right now, the only person worse than him inside the red zone is Josh Allen. The only person in pro football, and Marcus Mariota is pretty actually right there too, is pretty terrible. But I guess you could say Marcus Mariota is actually technically worse. But from a completion percentage, he completes 31% of his passes inside the 20-yard line.
Well, how much
31, that's it.
How much of this, though, is that the Texans' offensive line can't just blow people? They don't have a running back that's going to be able to pick up those. I mean, Alfred Blue ran fine yesterday, but he didn't give him the opportunity. He put Deshaun under center and give the ball to Blue up the middle twice or three times, and let's see. But this offensive line, I don't think can do that, though, match up like that.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree the offensive line, and obviously, you know, Albert Blues are starting running back, enough said. But there's no creativity on the part of this guy that apparently is you know, a guru. And I mean, and you can watch him get tighter as he gets closer to the end zone. I mean, three jump balls to Hopkins in a row. I mean, surely you can find something better than that.
Hey, did you see, and this is true, you know, sometimes I think fans just say, oh, play calling, when it's other things. It's execution. It is. This is true. It's there's no way around it. Look at the Dallas Cowboys touchdown pass in the back of the end zone to whoever. Who was it? Was it the tight end? I can't remember who caught the touchdown pass. It was Allen Hurns. Yeah, wide receiver. Here's what they did. Jet sweep motion to the right. So that I think it was with Tavon. So that immediately draws the attention of the linebackers to flow, from right to left. They have to flow that way because they see the hard jet sweep action coming. The ball snapped. He fakes a handoff flowing left to Ezekiel Elliott, who posts up over there looking for a pass and is very obviously looking for a pass, which draws the attention of safeties and linebackers in the other direction. So now you've got the middle of the field is spread towards the jet action on the right, towards the play action dump off to Zeke Elliott on the other side of the field, and wide open in the middle is Allen Hurns catching a touchdown because it was designed specifically to win in a short yardage situation. I don't see any of that with the Texans. That's a great play design. Where are the great play designs with the Texans? Where are they?
That's very high concept. That's called misdirection. Mm-hmm. Really high concept.
Hard to figure out.
That's hard to figure out.
Tom Herman did it like three times. He was unleashing all of his stuff against Oklahoma. I guess Bill O'Brien's not unleashing any of the good plays in the round of goal line.
John, what's your feeling? I told Lance the other day, I say, you get the Texans through the season, and you go after Lincoln Riley.
That's not happening, dude. They just gave him 4 years. There's no way. That's not happening. It's just not. Bill O'Brien.
What's the number have to be to get rid of Bill O'Brien?
There's no number. There's no.
Well, you know what?
Now.
Buyout
there's
wise,
no number.
He's owed $20 million. If he wants to
coach
again,
he'll
take it.
I don't mean amount. I mean, what's the record have to be?
No. He's got two wins already. That's plenty.
Let me ask
two
you, wins. If he would have lost yesterday, John, if he would have lost yesterday.
If they'd have lost
I mean, I'm telling you right now, if he hadn't gotten the extension, if Bill O'Brien hadn't been given an extension and they lost last night, that game, that's a game where you get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. You would have gone 1-4, and that's a game where they said, you know what, we're going to go in a different direction. And a lot of teams.
It's that's just and oh, by the way.
They did win.
You're not the only one that's got that thought. Lincoln Riley is being considered, because of his demeanor, he's being considered as a pro coach. I think that Lincoln Riley is a real possibility in the next few years.
100%.
And he may just be passed by the Texans because we're set. You got Bill O'Brien. You're set. There's no reason for you to think otherwise. So, your whole attitude about this, Eric, has got to change.
I just gotta wrap my mind around this guy just being just a solid. I mean, this is the easiest schedule in the league, and we're gonna win five games, four games.
Well, we'll see. No, I feel like they're about to go on a huge win streak, Eric.
Well, I kind of feel Bills? No.
I really do think they got a shot.
I honestly think that they got a shot at this division. If you want to know the truth. I think Tennessee has been winning games that they shouldn't be winning. Jacksonville is still Jackson. They still got Blake Bortles, and that's you can always count on him screwing something up. Indianapolis, you've already proven that they're your bitch. So
now there's no chance that Deshaun. I have a hard time believing Deshaun makes it through the season unscathed. He's getting hit way too hard. Dude, he's going to be in concussion protocol before you know it.
Well, either that or how about he broken ribs. I mean, good Lord. I mean, good. They have got to do something. ESPN is 55 times. He's first in the league in getting hit. 55 times already he's taken hits. And big hits last night that I thought, oh, my God, you can't do this. You just can't do this. You lose Deshaun and the season is over. And then Bill can just go, well, we lost Deshaun. We were starting to get on a roll. You know, that's how he got this extension. That's how he got 4 years from that six games.
So, that's the, and you just uncovered the conspiracy theory right there. Maybe that's his plan.
Hey, you think he's going to get him killed? So he's going to get Deshaun hurt so that he can just go, well, there's nothing we can do. Look at Deshaun got hurt.
Eric, tell him about your.
That's not the worst conspiracy theory.
Tell him about your Astros conspiracy theory. You're with John on this one.
Oh, about Correa?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, Correa's not going. I turned on the radio coming in, and I heard you guys talking about it. He's not going anywhere. He's not. No. I mean, and I'm with you, John. He's going to have a massive, massive series-changing hit somewhere in the postseason. Yeah, and nobody talks about, I mean, remember Springer? I mean, Springer was ice cold. Everybody wanted to move down the lineup.
Yeah.
AJ said, no way, and then he was the MVP of the series. So Correa's going to be fine. You can't take him out of the middle infield, and he's going to have a massive hit that will change this team.
He will.
I agree with you there.
I think you guys don't believe that.
No, I really do believe it. I think Correa. He hit. He wasn't. His swings weren't all that bad. You know, when he swung instead of watching strike three, his swings weren't that bad. So no, I really think he is. It'll be down the right field line and just barely fair, but it's going to happen. It is going to happen. Okay. So just watch it.
I'm with you.
And it could happen today, Lance. It could happen.
I hope so. Carlos is. Well, this is heartbreaking.
We might need it today because DK could give up some runs today. We might need it.
You'll find out in the first. You'll find out early on in that one what kind of DK you're working with. Yep.
All right, 8:17. We got.
I like
break.
It. All right, I'm getting back into the works, fella. That's
hey, keep
makeup.
Repping. Keep
you guys don't
keep
have
repping.
To worry about that.
Keep repping the Astros again while you're working. All right.
Get back at that. Get back at that breakfast taco.
Blindfold.
And,
get the
and
blindfold.
Get back to work.
Get the blindfold back out.
Blindfold's out. Have a good day, fellas.
All right, we'll see you, bro.
There he is, Eric Layden, right here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. We get you guys back in here on the other side right here. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Speaking of equipment, guys, apparently someone on our staff is dressed like the equipment manager at UT.
Not the equipment manager. Not even. He's dressed like one of those guys who just shags footballs during practice drills. Like if one goes awry, he goes and grabs it, tosses it back to the quarterback coach.
Head to toe.
Backwards burnt orange hat. Burnt orange shirt. No shorts. No burnt orange shorts, but burnt orange shoes as well.
What happened to the burnt orange shorts?
I don't. Maybe he didn't want to be full on.
Maybe
embarrassment.
No, maybe they were too long.
Yeah. I don't know if he can find any thigh level burnt orange shorts.
Yeah, he doesn't have those yet, so he can't add that to the repertoire just yet. That's our friend Braheel.
So, speaking of which, I mean, he's going to be insufferable now because you know the Longhorns are back, folks.
Right.
Now they did give up 21 points, and it looked like an insurmountable lead until they scored 3 touchdowns in 10 plays.
Boy, Oklahoma, dude, can I tell you, is Kyler Murray the fastest football player you've ever seen?
He can really, really run.
Oh my God, really, really run. He's not only fast, but he's quick. That is maybe he reminds me of Johnny, but he's faster, a lot faster. But he's got that same kind of quickness. So it's just unbelievable. When he turns it, I was like, oh, my God. And, you know, I was probably wrong about him. No, I don't think I'm wrong about him in that they lost that football game. That's certainly – and I didn't think Oklahoma was all that. But that's not on him. Mike Stoops fired. That had to be uncomfortable for Lincoln Riley, who was given the job because Bob Stoops said waited until the summer so that they couldn't hire anybody else. And the reason he did that was so this staff had to stay intact. Now, they had to win and prove that they were good, that Lincoln Riley had to prove that he was good enough to deserve the job. But if Bob Stoops had quit after the previous season, right after the previous season, they would have had a coaching search, and Lincoln Riley might not have gotten it. So for him to fire Mike Stoops yesterday had to be an awfully difficult decision.
But, I mean, Texas just went up and down the field. Other than that first drive for Oklahoma had a first drive and you just thought, oh, boy, I don't know that Texas has the track shoes to win this game. And then Texas goes right down the field, like hot knife through butter. And then really, I thought Texas really controlled a lot of that game until the middle of the fourth quarter, where it went sideways on them defensively. I mean, just a terrible call by Texas. Third and short. You're just pounding them with short yardage quarterback power. It was like Jalen Hurts, Sam Ellinger, same concept. Then they go with the pass play on third and one when they're killing off clock.
Well, and
they would have forced them to use another timeout. It was the worst play call. It was terrible. And then a terrible punt after that.
Well, and not only, but you tell your quarterback, too, take the sack.
Yeah, you can't even take the sack.
Take the sack. So we lose 5 yards on the punt. Yeah. Oh, well, don't throw the ball and stop the clock.
Right.
Good Lord. Oh, my God. I know everybody was glued to it, but did you see Jarvis Landry stay in bounds yesterday at the end of the game?
Yes, I did. And he had a chance to get what was he thinking?
He could
have got out easily.
I know he could have just run out of bounds, and instead he cuts back inside. And oh my God, it's just like, guys, they just don't have any awareness about game management or clock or anything. It's just amazing to me. And Ellinger, as a quarterback, has to know that. Just hold on to the ball. I don't have a play here. He just threw it into the ground. Why would you do that? Let the clock run. Let the clock run. I mean, it's just simply amazing how guys, you do this all day long. This is your whole life, and you just make these simple mistakes. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang here on ESPN 97.5. Do you have that Bill O'Brien sound? I want to get to Bill. Bill O'Brien talks about, number two, Dell, from Craig. Bill O'Brien talks about the amount of hits that Deshaun takes. And then Deshaun, his first bite, and that's the first question to Deshaun. How many hits are you taking? How many times can Deshaun go to the sideline? Go to the sideline and go under the tent and have to be. When the guy's over there with the stethoscope the whole game, I'm like, are you kidding me? Why? And yet you're still running him. Run left, run right. A quarterback option right. Are you kidding me? And this season is lost if dude is out. This season is lost. So Bill O'Brien has got to find a way. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about the amount of hits that he's taken.
You know, I mean, we are. We've got to do a better job of making sure that, you know, maybe he doesn't, you know, take as many. But, you know, that in, at the same time, it's a fine line, Aaron, because that's part of his game. You know, that's part of his game, and that's the way he plays the game. He enjoys that part of the game, to be honest with you. So, you know, I think it's something that we continue to coach, and obviously it's something we can't – we don't have, want an abundance of him getting hit, you know, obviously, but sometimes it does happen.
Sometimes it does happen? You mean more than anybody else in the NFL? Sometimes it does happen.
Yeah, but it's happening a lot. He's taking a ton. And, you know, Deshaun's going to have to just start deciding – to occasionally make business decisions and just you don't have to go for the dramatic game winning touchdown every single time you're running. Like, you're going to have to get down. You can't keep taking. He was taking Xavier Woods hit him really, really hard. Jalen Smith, I thought, had knocked his head completely off his body on that play. You run to the right. You're right, John. That was probably the hardest hit of the whole game, was when he was headed right on that fourth down late and got his. Or was it a third down and got his head smashed off?
I think that was right before the half.
That was right before the half, yeah. It was hit before the half. There's no way he's been hit harder in a single game than he got hit in the half by the Cowboys. They got to stop that. Now, I thought as a passer, I thought Deshaun was in better rhythm for much of the night. I thought his accuracy and ball placement, for the most part, was really, really good. He made some real tight window throws that I thought was so impressive relative to Dak. You saw a stark contrast between a guy who has a chance to be a good passer and a guy who is just kind of a thrower. I mean, Prescott had some easy throws that he just airmailed. And Cowboy fans are like, no, Tavon caused that interception. His hands hit the ball. If your hands touch the ball, you should make the catch. Dude, Dak Prescott threw that ball about 10 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the only mistake he made was putting a hand on it at all because he had no chance of catching that. Dak is just not an he is an inaccurate passer. That's just the fact.
He did hit for over 200. So, you know, the Texans defense needs to get, I will say this. Let's talk about this on the other side though.
Right.
I want to talk about how hard Jadeveon played and JJ and McKinney. That was a Kareem. We got to take a break. 713-780-37. So Dell is telling me break. All shut right. up. I mean, I don't want to say shut up, Dell, but I
you
just
said
did.
It. Don't worry.
Only because I kind of meant it.
Nah, I'm aware.
I want to talk about Richard Drake, not you, Dell. Okay? I never tell Richard Drake to shut up. What I tell him is, find me a house. Rent me a house. That's what I tell Richard Drake. Richard Drake is here for you at 713-224-RENT. That's why they have that number, because they rent houses. 713-224-RENT. It would be stupid if they were car dealers or something and had that number. What you want in your... in this deal is somebody to take care of your home, and they will vet and find the people. You get to pick them, and then they take care of everything. They go through your home with a video camera, make sure everything. Here's what the house looked like before the people moved in, and here's what the house looks like as the people move out. So they stay on top of this too. Make sure that the lawn is cut, the garbage is taken, all this stuff that you don't have to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's really. They handle about three or four different jobs for one low monthly fee of about $99 a month. And I mean, from everything from marketing your property to renting it out like a rent-a-estate agent, they help you find the price of what it should be to, because you don't know what it is, but they can tell you exactly what your house should rent for. And, you know, the other thing is, Renters Warehouse, as John mentioned, they're going to make sure that your home is taken care of. That's the most important thing for you, is that you rent it out, you get your money on time, and it's taken care of. Renters Warehouse does all of these things. Go to renterswarehouse.com or call 713-224-RENT.
They say I need some roping to put in my head.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You know, for me, I just try to do what's best for the team. And I know sometimes for the best for the team is protecting myself. But, you know, when we're down there at the goal line, and, you know, I'm trying to get in the end zone. That's my mentality. So regardless of what I got to do, you know, if it's three dudes like it was tonight multiple times, I'm going to try to, you know, fight my ass off to get in the end zone. And, you know, that's my mentality. And whatever it takes, you know, I'm built to take those hits. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, give all my will and my guts and trying to get the ball in the end zone.
Competitive nature, Deshaun Watson. You know, John, in the movie Colors, there's a discussion between Robert Duvall, who's the older police officer, and Sean Penn, who's the younger police officer. And in this discussion, Robert Duvall, you know, Sean Penn's the younger officer in Colors, and he's all, you know, piss and vinegar, and he's all, "We need to get these guys." And Duvall's like, "Whoa, we gotta, you know, calm down. You know, you gotta relax, and you gotta, you know, this is a right way and wrong way to deal with gangbangers and this, that, and the other." And he tries to tell a story to Sean Penn. He says, "You know, now I'm gonna clean this up." He goes, "There's a father cow and there's a father bull and a son bull. And they see all these cows down there." And they say, and the son goes, "You know what, Dad? Let's run down there and bleep one of those cows." And the father goes, "Son, no. Let's walk down. Let's not run down. Let's walk down and bleep them all instead of running down in a big hurry."
Right.
I feel like Deshaun needs to take that tact. He needs to walk down and try to bleep them all and not be in a big hurry to run down and bleep one of them for a touchdown. Because the one-on-three thing that Deshaun's like, "Yeah, I had three guys on me on multiple times today." Well, that sounds terrible. That sounds like bad odds. Daryl, could you run the analytics on that? 1.6% chance of scoring a touchdown. Well, then that's not the analytics we need. That's not the analytics.
And the whole "I'm built for this," I feel like only Cam Newton may be built for what you're doing right now.
You're not. I've got three season-ending injuries over the last 5 years that says you're not built for this.
Yeah. No, he's not even close to built for this. He cannot absorb this punishment. There's got to be something. Bill O'Brien has got to get to him. He's got to tell him he can't do this.
Guys built for this. Cam Newton, Josh Allen, Deshaun Kizer, who's a backup. That's about the only guys built for that.
Yeah. Not even Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck's a much bigger guy than
Andrew
Deshaun
Luck
is.
Thought he was built for it and kept doing it, and he ended up being out of football for 2 years.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Let's make some smart choices.
Didn't he lace his spleen or something?
Oh, he separated shoulders, had a spleen knocked out of his body, lost a kidney, broke seven ribs, because he was about that life too.
Hey, what did you – I honestly now – after just a couple of weeks ago, we're talking about, and just maybe even last week, we're talking about Le'Veon Bell for Jadeveon Clowney. And I'm still not off of it. Hey, if you had Le'Veon Bell, you would have scored four touchdowns last night. That's just a fact. I mean, it's not even.
Okay, then don't keep going with your, because you just answered your own question. I know what you're going to say, because every time Jadeveon flashes, it's like, I thought, I had to say, ooh, man, Jadeveon, when he's good.
Did you see him last night? How would four touchdowns have been? Yeah, four touchdowns would have been special. But did you see him last night?
He played really well. It's the same thing. It's all inside moves. Like Tyron Smith, by the way, I don't recognize him anymore. He really isn't the same guy. But Jadeveon was whipping that ass. Those inside moves, he was dominating. When they let him stand up and take shots in the gaps, it was what happened to the Cowboys' great offensive line? I didn't see it yesterday.
No.
Where's this great offensive line? I think they're a good line. They're not great anymore.
Well, I think you know, the Texans played like a great front seven though. The Texans played like they're supposed to play. They were wild. They were just flying. Now, it cost them in a blitz and then all of a sudden a screen just did, you know. But here, yeah, I love the way McKinney played. Loved Cunningham running people down. The way Dunn played, he was in the backfield more than a few times. Obviously, JJ and Jadeveon, Kareem with tackle for loss. They flew around yesterday. That Texans defense was back, folks. That Texans defense was back. That was the way that they should be playing. And I think it's a lot of that is Jadeveon's energy. I really do. He brought that same kind of the intensity last night that we now I think a lot of in Indy he was really good, but he brought it. It was special last night.
Yeah, he was really good. He was fantastic. You know, I thought Bernardrick McKinney had a really good game too.
Yeah,
I'm going to shout out Bernardrick McKinney because he had some opportunities. Like there were opportunities to break big runs, and he didn't let them seal him off. He kept fighting through double teams. Specifically, there was that play action. I thought it was a really well designed play where it's a play action run to Zeke Elliott, and then they leak him out, and then the right guard and right tackle release their blocks and get out in front. To turn it into basically a delayed screen pass, and they both were on Bernardrick McKinney, and he fought his way through both of those guys just to make sure he got to the outside to force Zeke Elliott out of bounds. It was a hustle play that probably would have saved a minimum of a 25 to 30 yard gain. He turned it into a 6 or 7, and that wasn't the only thing. I thought Bernardrick was really good flying around once again. I don't know what they're doing with Whitney. Every once in a while, they'll play Whitney Merciless as a 4-3 outside linebacker. They'll switch their front from a 5-2 look into basically a 4-3, and they put him at a linebacker spot. I've seen them do that before, like a true like 4-3 linebacker. They are really struggling to get anything out of. He did have a couple plays where he chased down to the side. You know, he chased down. It was either Zeke or Dak to the sideline and stopped a big play, and that was good, but. We're just not seeing the same Whitney. JJ looked pretty good. He looked pretty good, but you're right. It was Clowney who was the guy that was making the loudest noise. There were some pretty good, solid hits from Zach Cunningham is just so hit or miss right now. Justin Reed was solid. Tyrann Mathieu had one play where he got sucked up by a play action and gave up a pass over the top to a tight end.
What about Kareem on Cole Beasley?
Great job.
If he almost picks that ball off to end the game.
It would have been a pick six.
And I thought Collinsworth was right. He said not many guys can cover Cole Beasley on this route.
There aren't
many guys in the league that could do that.
On paper, it's a terrible matchup because Kareem is you know what, Kareem's still got some quickness. He's just not fast. But I think Kareem's done a really good job switching over from safety to corner. I mean, granted, corner's his natural position, but one of the reasons he's getting switched, don't get it twisted. He can't run anymore. And yet I thought he did a really good job yesterday.
No, he did a great job.
Yeah.
J.J. made a couple of plays as well. Yeah. Mathieu made a couple of plays.
The Texans, honestly, that should have been a 17-point win for the Texans. Mm-hmm. It really should have. But you know, their inability in the red zone. I mean, I'm looking at Deshaun's numbers now in the red zone. Holy crap, are they bad this year. You ready for this? Inside the 20-yard line, he's 13 of 35, completing 31.7% of his passes. Hmm. Now, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. But 31% inside the 20, I can't even tell you. Like, you got to look. Ryan Fitzpatrick's 36%. I'm trying to find guys under 40%, and it's not easy. Josh Allen's 25%. That's about it.
Wow,
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, how much of that is play design, and how much of that is on him?
Well, I think a lot of it is on him. Here's why, and I noticed this with Will Fuller around the goal line. So Will Fuller saw one of the plays, and he threw it left over the top of. Well, it was one that Ryan Griffin. Frankly, I thought Ryan Griffin could have had it. It would have been a tough catch, but he had the safety. It
went right through his hand. Yeah. Right through his arms.
Yeah, it would have. It had some heat on it, but. That's one that a really good tight end will make, and Ryan Griffin is just not a really good tight end. But Will Fuller on that same route runs up to his man and then breaks in. And I don't think Deshaun has a great pre-snap plan of where he wants to go at the ball. Because you remember Matt Schaub was not good in that area. And when they got Arian Foster, it changed everything. Matt Schaub's touchdowns needed to come from, you know, 17 yards, 15 yards out, so he had a lot more of the end zone to work with. And I think Deshaun struggles with some of the same stuff. Schaub just didn't have confidence in his tight window of throws. I don't think Deshaun, who has the ability to make them, I don't think he anticipates well in short, tight spaces, because a lot of that is just saying, okay, this is the matchup, that's the route, this is where I'm going with it, I'm going to look it off to the left and make a quick throw to the right. And I don't think he's doing it. I think he's waiting for guys to get open, and that's not how you can throw around the goal line in short passes. Like, you've got to operate with an idea of anticipation and where you're going to go with it. And that's, I still think that's something he's learning, John. I think some of that is on him. And then some of it is Bill O'Brien. You've got to design, frankly, you've got to design plays through misdirection to get guys. I call them winners or play beaters, where you design it for the scheme to open a guy up. And I don't seem to see it. Do you see a lot of those?
No.
I don't see guys running free through misdirection.
Where
was the Kiki QT play at the end? They scored a touchdown on that. Why didn't they bring that back even as a fake to draw defense away?
By the way, Kiki QT in just two games.
He makes a difference, doesn't he?
He makes a huge difference. Look at that. That's what Braxton Miller, this is what they've been searching for, and that Kiki QT has given it to him in two games. That's unbelievable. All right, taking one. And oh, by the way, speaking of that, is guys just half-assing it on the goal line? Did you see even DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller both just kind of jogging into routes as opposed to breaking hard, making hard cuts, doing stuff that Antonio Brown that tries to shake to get open? I mean, they're not doing any of
it. Must have been a predetermined route, and they just didn't sell it. I don't know.
They look like they weren't even trying.
I know. Hey, when we come back, we've got a post-fight interview from the UFC fight this weekend from Houston's own Derek Lewis, okay? Wait until you hear this one. This is a great interview. And Derek, at the end of the fight with a one-punch knockout to pull out the victory. But his post-game interview, his post-fight interview is what everyone's talking about. We'll play it for you when we come back right here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Our guys can sure hit a ton. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John Lance and Dell, and then Longhorn Raheel joins us on the other side.
So I'll see you. So you'll be in studio tomorrow after the Astro sweep.
After the Astro sweep, we'll be back and in studio. And if not, well, there's not even any.
Is it good, Dallas Keuchel?
I think so. I think the first inning will be a good indicator, although. I'm not nearly, just like they're probably not all that worried about Carlos Correa, I'm not all that worried about Jose Ramirez right now. You know, Encarnacion is obviously dangerous, and so is Josh Donaldson. But it's hard to say because Cole was so good. My goodness. I don't know how anybody hit that dude. He was 12 strikeouts and no walks, and he was the spin rate. Hey, Tyler Bauer, how's this series tasting?
No.
Hey.
Yeah, good first inning. I was like, man, I was hoping they were going to ruin him. And then he did get ruined.
All his hopes and dreams. And how's this tasting? Yeah, first of all, you're not even starting in the postseason. Secondly, you come in and Bregman just – Alex Bregman, there's a picture this morning. I think Miles Straw put it out. Bregman is on one knee and the other one is out, like, and he looks like he's like almost falling, but his hands are outstretched like you would hold an imaginary beach ball, and it's in about the right place. And he said, and Straw says, this is Bregman's new profile picture, because it looks like he's holding giant wheelbarrow nuts. Okay,
yeah,
that's exactly what
he's a killer. Alex Bregman is an absolute one of the great killers of all time in Houston sports history.
Look at the pitchers. Did you see the Astros tweeted out the pitchers that he's hit the homers off of?
It's go find that. Go read that list. It's unbelievable who he wrecks. Alex Bregman doesn't care. He wishes Nolan Ryan would come out like, you know, I wish Nolan would just come throw me one just so I could say I wrecked him. Like, wow, bro, that's a little disrespectful. I mean, I don't mean disrespect, but I just want to wreck every Hall of Fame pitcher of all time.
It's unbelievable. Okay, two off of Sale, one off of Kershaw, one off Jansen, one off Kluber. Are there better pitchers in this era than those guys?
No. I mean, you got a bunch of Cy Youngs.
Unbelievable. And he just doesn't care.
Yeah, those are postseason home runs, folks.
Unbelievable.
Texas is back, folks.
Houston,
Texas with the Houston Astros. Oh.
So Derek Lewis fought on Saturday night.
So Derek Lewis, a.k.a. the Black Beast. Raheel, you know Derek Lewis a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, he's been on the show before. Yeah, awesome guy. Man, just...
great sense of humor. My son Drake, who's working over at Festari for Men, shout out to Drake, doing a little men's clothing stuff there on Post Oak. Real nice suits and whatnot.
And Rudy Festari.
Rudy Festari is great. Yeah, Rudy's awesome. That's where I was wearing my jacket that I had on Channel 2. That's from Festar. Well, anyway, Rudy.
You look sharp.
Yeah, I have my jacket. Well, Festari's, they'll suit you. They'll get you pieced up. But
when I started Sports Night Live, I used to wear Festari suits.
I know. That's how I told Rudy I knew about you. That's why I went in whenever I had to start doing NFL Network stuff. I'm like, dude, I got to get suits. And so I went in there, and they're really high-quality, good stuff. Well, anyway. A lot of the Astros going in there, a lot of the Texans. My son is not the hugest sports fan. He's an MMA fan, but he's met, you know, Kareem Jackson and Andre Howell and all these and baseball players, football players, basketball. Well, anyway, Derek Lewis comes in and he's starstruck. He loves Derek Lewis, big MMA guy. And he said, you know, Derek was so awesome. He's quiet, but then when he says stuff, he's really, really funny. And so Derek was in the middle. Did you watch the Derek Lewis fight, Raheel?
That's why I ordered the pay-per-view.
What, it really was?
Because of Derek Lewis.
Houston's own Derek Lewis. So Derek made it up from the fight. And that's so cool that Maynard is the matchmaker. I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
used to have him on your MMA show.
I used
y'all
to
hosted
do a weekly show together with Mick. I was texting him during the fights. And
I didn't realize he was the...
How about this? On Friday at the weigh-ins, guess who he's hanging out with?
Not Sports Map, because they're leaving.
Yeah, by Sports Map.
By Sports Map.
Just you know, the biggest artist in the world right now, Drake. He's just hanging out with him because Drake is team Conor McGregor now. And at the weigh-ins, he was... Drake had nowhere to go.
Is Drake really that big a jinx?
Yeah.
I think it is.
But Drake had nowhere to... Like, he was just part of the crew. And he had nowhere to go. So he was just hanging out with Mick in the back at weigh-ins. Yeah, Mick is just back there. So when the brawl happens, Mick is like... Oh my God, what are we supposed to do here? Everyone is just all hands on deck.
Let me tell you what you do. You don't go anywhere near it because every Russian fan, I can't find a video where Russian fans aren't kicking a piss out of Irish fans. The Irish got took so many L's, including the guy in the ring. I mean, you were right about that. Khabib is just too much.
We'll talk a little bit more about the fight. Yeah.
I thought McGregor was great.
Dude, round three, McGregor won the round. That was the first round he officially won that round on paper.
But he could shoot in and get him down when he wanted.
He couldn't, though, in round three.
Khabib wanted to throw punches, though.
No, he shot three times, couldn't get him down in round three. We'll talk a little bit more about that fight. Derek Lewis, was... Like, this card was awesome. It was a really good pay-per-view card, all that good stuff. There was a moment where after the fight, Derek Lewis was the hero. Derek Lewis was losing the whole fight.
One punch.
That's what Derek Lewis is. He's like, dude, you leave the door open. I will go in and take everything.
21 wins or knockouts. And so he's being interviewed. He takes his shorts off during the interview, before the interview, I should say. Takes his shorts off. They announce that he wins. And Joe Rogan starts the interview and asks him about his shorts and many other things. And here's Houston's own Derek Lewis in this post-fight interview with Joe Rogan.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
I understand. Listen, man, what you just did was absolutely phenomenal. That was an incredible comeback victory, and it shows one of the reasons why people love to watch you fight, that you can put it all to bed with one shot.
I told them, boys, I got no more heart. You know, they keep underestimating me. I ain't all that technical and all that, but I'm getting there.
No one will question your heart, sir, after this. This is a come-from-behind knockout, the likes that we haven't seen in a long time. And you were looking for that big haymaker all night. You found it in the last minute of the fight.
I forgot. A few hours before the fight, Donald Trump called me and told me I got knocked this Russian out because they're making him look bad on the news. You know, him and Putin. They're talking about USA and his hoe.
Listen, Derek, you came into this fight the number two contender with that knockout. You're absolutely one of the top guys in line for a shot at the title next. So tell us what you think about that.
I need to sit my black ass down and do some more cardio. What you talking about right now? I ain't trying to fight for no title right now. I don't have no gas tank like that.
Listen, Derek, you're one of the most entertaining guys in this sport. Congratulations on an amazing victory. And thank you very much for a really, really entertaining fight.
Thanks for having me.
And I ain't trying to sit my black ass down and get some cardio.
And then he does the old self-invite. He's like, hey, let me come on the number one podcast in the world. He invite, like, let me come smoke weed with you, Joe Rogan.
That's what Derek Lewis
said. He also said that. He goes, dude, invite me on your show. It is awesome, man. He picked up, I believe, like 500,000 extra Instagram followers.
Come on.
I have the number here. You know what? Let me get the number correct.
John, how'd you like that? When he goes, maybe you're in line for a title. He goes, I'm not trying to fight for a title. I need to send my black ass down and get my cardio right.
Yeah.
Derek Lewis, what the f*** you talking about, Joe?
Because Joe Rogan kept pointing out that he has the best Instagram. My wife was watching with me.
What's
and
his
she
Instagram?
Derek Lewis is the Black Beast.
No, and he just so
posts,
like,
he just posts the most ridiculous stuff on the internet on his Instagram. Like, he's just an aggregator. It's awesome. My wife ended up following Derek Lewis because Joe Rogan said it so many times. It's crazy. He gained 513,000 followers on Instagram, 35,000 on Twitter over the weekend. He had the best weekend. And he's Houston. And he's Houston.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Who had the best weekend? Sam Ellinger?
Dicker the Kicker?
Alex Bregman? What Dicker about, the Kicker?
You get a freshman? Oh.
Okay.
I was sitting next to Chris Solis, you know, Longhorn fan, and I said, this kick has some huge social ramifications for this kid.
Yes.
Now, if he knocks this in, he's going to have some fun on campus. If he doesn't, he's just another guy.
That's right, and with just a great name, or Alex Bregman, or who else? Oh, Jadeveon Clowney. Come on, Bill O'Brien? He had a great weekend.
Whoa,
okay,
he got a win.
He did, yeah. Wins a win.
All right, let's
next. You know how hard it is to win in the NFL? Yeah. Not, how many wins you got?
Cardinals got a win. It wasn't that hard.
It's really hard. If you don't score touchdowns
Browns
ever.
The Browns now have two.
Yeah,
apparently
it's not
that
difficult
anymore.
Yeah, this whole it's so hard to win the everyone has a win, by the way. Officially.
Josh Allen got another win.
How about
Josh Allen has Buffalo many wins. Josh Allen has as many wins as Deshaun Watson. That is and he threw for less than 100 yards. That makes me so sad.
That's sick. Goodbye.
It beat the Cowboys.